Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." Here ends our reading for this day. Thanks be to God. All righty. So 2 weeks ago, we began this six-week journey of delving deeply into the key concepts and language that make up Christianity. And I've been letting you know all along that throughout this journey, I am relying heavily upon the theological work of Marcus Borg in his book, Speaking Christian. So much of our modern-day misunderstandings when it comes to Christianity emerge from the current framework that our religion is being viewed through, which we are calling the heaven and hell framework. Using this perspective, Christianity usually gets boiled down to these 4 points: that one should be Christian in order to get into heaven and the afterlife, that our sin and God's forgiveness is our primary concern in this life, but if we only believe that Jesus died for our sins, all will be well. So far during the past 2 weeks, we have reclaimed these Christian essentials: that there is more to our relationship with God beyond sin and forgiveness. There is liberation, returning home from exile, healing, and finding community. And there is more to the meaning of Jesus' death besides an atonement-only understanding. In Jesus' death, we learn that God is willing to go all the way to stand up against imperial oppressive authorities, and we witness Jesus' willingness to sacrifice his own life while working to bring about the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So today we're going to take a closer look at our understandings of forgiveness and repentance. And the most common understanding of forgiveness, we see it as the antidote to the most common understanding of sin. Many believe that God will punish us if we haven't sought and received forgiveness. But this understanding flows from seeing God's character as mostly punitive. Last week, we looked at other expressions of God's character in our scriptures and tradition. And so, what if our understanding of God's character is not punitive, but an experience of God as gracious and forgiving and loving and passionate about the transformation of the world? The radical meaning of forgiveness and grace in the Bible and within the Christian tradition is that we are already forgiven, accepted, and loved by God, whether we know it or not. This could be called forgiveness in spite of. Have I been less than I could have been? Less loyal, less committed, less attentive, less generous, less willing than I should be to spend and be spent for the sake of what it means to follow Jesus? Yeah. Yes. And does God forgive and love us in spite of this anyways? Absolutely yes. So if we see that forgiveness is unconditional, then the Christian life is no longer about believing or doing things in order to be forgiven. God already forgives us. When we don't have to continue to feel guilty and alienated from God, we don't have to be preoccupied with not measuring up in God's eyes. Instead, the Christian life can be centered around participating in God's passion for transformation of ourselves and of the world. Part of this transformation comes when we offer forgiveness in our other human relationships. Like God, we can offer forgiveness as part of unconditional love. For example, parents often engage in forgiveness while raising a child. Does a child have an accident during toilet training? Is a child sometimes troublesome during adolescence? Yes. But a good parent will continue to love their child unconditionally with forgiveness, even as one wants something better for the one that they love. To participate in transformation of our own selves, we have to also utilize forgiveness in relationship to our own past. How much do our memories of difficult years continue to enslave us? Forgiveness of those in our past is a way of becoming free from the bondage of all of those wounds. Forgiveness is also an important element in adult relationships. Many in adulthood have experienced awful things. Some brutality, betrayal, some callousness and consistent insensitivity, some injustice. Forgiveness does not come automatically. It must be cultivated. It's for instances like these that repentance is so important. The common understanding of repentance is being sorry for our sins and resolving not to continue the behaviors and thoughts that are understood to be sin. In this understanding, can we be forgiven without remorse and resolve? This understanding of repentance also affects the practice of forgiveness in human relationships. If somebody who has wronged me says, "I'm sorry," and I'm not sure if that person really means it, am I still supposed to forgive? Let's take a look at the two primary biblical understandings of repentance. These meanings are much richer than the common understanding. The first one comes from the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, commonly translated into English as the word repent or repentance. It means to turn or to return. The word directly refers to Israel's experience of exile in Babylon. To repent meant to return, to embark on a journey of return to the homeland, to where God is. So that means repentance is to embark on a journey of return to God with God. As we heard Michael read in our contemporary reading, repentance is also a main theme in the New Testament as well. In our passage from Mark today, in these words from Jesus, some of the first that he utters, he says, "The kingdom of God has come near, repent and believe in the good news." This word that we heard about, repent, has this same resonance as the Hebrew word to return or to turn again. But it also has this resonance that flows from its Greek word interpretation that means to go beyond the mind that we have. I love that. This mind that we have acquired just by growing up where we are, our social location, our country, our family, our time period. Of course, we are shaped by everything that we have learned and been taught by others. And few of us escape what we have been taught. So to go beyond the mind that we have means seeing in a whole new way, a way that's shaped by God. And for Christians, that way that is known decisively in Jesus. This is repentance. The Bible does speak of repenting for our sins, but the emphasis is not so much on contrition or sorrow or guilt, but about turning from them and returning to God. Repentance is about change. Forgiveness is not dependent upon repentance. We are already forgiven and loved and accepted by God already. But repentance, turning and returning to God, going beyond the mind that we have, is the path that leads to transformation. This Thursday, I went to our state capitol, and I met up with four others. Myself, a UCC pastor, two other UCC pastors, a more middle school public teacher, and a baby. And we all got there, and we were there, the five of us, to do the work of repentance. Our nation and citizens and lawmakers have been less loyal and committed to the safety of our children than we could be. We have been less attentive to the warning signs that mass shootings are not going to automatically stop just because we want them to. We've been less generous with our care and concern for the welfare of all citizens. We've been less willing to follow in Jesus' footsteps with his model of nonviolent resistance against violent authorities. Does this mean that God does not love or forgive us in spite of the sins of our nation? No. But it does mean that we are all in need of repentance and change and transformation, both of ourselves and of our nation. We are in need of returning to God and going beyond the mind that we currently have. The five of us carried 75 copies of a letter that had been signed by 59 clergy and faith leaders in Oklahoma, which was also published this week in the Daily Oklahoman. My name was included among the signatures as folks who express heartbreak and outrage over the continued mass shootings. We called on all of us to give up our idolatry to guns and violence, and we demanded a change in our policies. 1 week after the shootings in Florida, our own legislature was debating bills to remove restrictions on guns in our state. As we walked from office to office, we knew that the House of Representatives committee had just passed two bills that would allow teachers to carry guns in schools and allow Oklahomans to carry guns without a permit. As I spoke with one representative's administrative assistant, because the representatives were on the floor at that time, she told me that she was a believer in Jesus too. And she knows that in the Bible, God allows for us to arm ourselves for protection. I reminded her that Jesus was a nonviolent resister who said to lay down your sword. She continued in her belief that it is God who has given us the right to bear arms. I can't be surprised that this mindset of many are held within our country. We've been taught to think the way that we have by our culture. It's very hard to go beyond the mind that we currently have, but we must in order to engage in this journey of repentance and transformation. We must go beyond the mind that we have and see in a new way, a way that is shaped by God and known in Jesus' life. So may we continue to do this work together until the change and transformation is complete. May it be so. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts for prayer.